Canada. We're not too sure, but what happened is they met, Isaac Taylor and William Drury met in 1898 on the Ashcroft Trail. That's the trail that runs up through B.C., beginning around the Skeenan River, mm-hmm. and follows roughly mm-hmm. the Telegraph Trail. They split up following their first meeting, believe it or not. And what happened was Bill Drury, or William Drury, went over the Ashcroft Trail to Atlin. He had heard about the strike there at Discovery. He was actually heading for the Klondike, and it's funny because later on, he was to receive the honor of being the last man to reach Dawson City, the last rusher to reach Dawson City, 29 or 30 years late. however, there was a little gold.
Out in the gold field?
There was a little gold in between. Now, Isaac Taylor went to Skagway in 1898, the winter of 1898-99, and he worked for the White Pass as a lineman while they were laying the tracks over the summit. And he then heard about the strike at Atlin, and he left. He crossed the Fantail Trail, which runs from Log Cabin up at the summit, to Atlin. Again, he met Mr. Drury, William Drury. Now, they started supplying goods to miners at Discovery. Now, the goods that they were supplying were goods that they bought from the rushers that were discouraged and had turned back. So they bought the goods from them, sold them to the rushers that were indeed in Atlin at the time. And when the rail reached Bennett, when the White Pass got that far, they moved the operation to Bennett. That was 1899. They opened a store in a tent then. Then Isaac Taylor went to Vancouver for stock, and he brought it back with him. As the rail moved into Whitehorse, they came with it. And they opened the first Whitehorse store in 1899 on what is now First and Lambert. It's near Yukon Electric, if you're...
Just one block down.
Where we're sitting now in 1899 was the Grand Hotel. As we travel north here on First Street, the Whitehorse Hotel. And then there was a barbershop, a laundry, another hotel. Across the street, where the Edgewater is now, was the Windsor Hotel. And a post office, the Pioneer Hotel and Restaurant, Whitney and Redler Hardware, and that it takes in the area from Steele right up to Lambert. Then there was the big fire of 1905, and the whole thing was wiped out. So this original building is where the Grand Hotel was, but it burned down. Now the building that is sitting on this spot now was moved to two stories from First and Main as far back to the shoe department,
mm-hmm. which is a good, 150, 200 feet.
Isn't it? Something like that.
Well, I'd say 100.
The whole thing was moved over here, the two stories. Was moved here at that time, and then since...
Did it say how?
No. I tried to get that information. It wasn't available.
Well, it's taken off a lot of horses.
It was in sections and a lot of logs. Anyway, and this store was operated by Isaac Taylor at the time. And William Drury went up the river, and he was going to several posts. He went to several posts around... and had three river boats. He was stocking stores and trading and bringing back furs at that time. And some of them were Teslin, Carmacks, and along all the navigable rivers in the area. And as I said, William Drury has the honor of being the last rusher to reach the Klondike, Dawson City. He was 29 or 30 years late, but I don't think we'll fault him on that.
I would think that you got a lot of your information from the present general manager of the Drury Operation, Lynn. Who happens to have just come in and is now sitting with us, Charlie Taylor. Welcome to Talkback.
Good morning, John.
Thank you for letting us use your premises for this week. I think it's going to afford us a good view of what's going on during Sourdough Rendezvous. Charlie, was Isaac Taylor your father?
That's correct.
So you were born in the Yukon?
I was born here, yes.
Took all your education here?
Up to my senior high school years, and I went out where there was better advantages.
Right, and how about university?
The Depression was on, and I was like a lot of my contemporaries. We just had to go to work, university, and we were too far away from education.
So, Taylor and Drury are the pioneer merchants in town, and we were just finding out how long you've in fact been in operation. Charlie, how long have you been in the business yourself?
Well, I left school in 1932, steadily on, except for 1 year of
finding out how long you've been exactly in operation. There seems to have been steady expansion over the year with your store, and most recently, certainly taking over in Northern Commercial store next door. Competition?
Yes, they bought up the modern interest back in the 1920s and established it as a pioneer concern, too. So we were both market. It was very difficult for the slow years.
Certainly many of the old-timers in the Yukon deal here at Taylor & Dury's, and many of the native people. You've had a very good relationship with the native people of the Yukon.
This is true. They have been our most outstanding customers, and from the day we started and developed trading posts throughout the territory, they have been our number one customers. And like myself, I was born here too, and I figure that our lot, and a very important lot, is to run things in the Yukon someday ourselves.
Charlie, you've had other locations besides Whitehorse. Could you tell us just where they are, and are any of them still in operation?
Yes, we've had up to as many as 13 stores. This is the time when the native people lived in bands, and we had these stores, and the fur market was very lucrative in those days, and this was their main life, and our trading was very close to them. And of course, as the economy of the territory changed and the Alaska Highway came in, it drew these people away from their natural environment and brought them into the larger centers and broke down the old system. I might say Old Crow is the last of the band group of people. But when I was a kid on the steamboats, plying up and down the river, all these centers were very similar to Old Crow.
How many operations do you have out of town now?
Carmax and Mayo are the only two stores, and they're more like branch stores in comparison to the old trading post system with the pots hanging on the ceiling and strictly trade with the trappers.
Do you still buy furs?
Just in the Carmax store.
We're talking with Charlie Taylor, General Manager of Taylor & Dury's operation here in Whitehorse, where we're doing our talkback broadcast from today. Charlie, thank you very much for being with us for these few minutes, and we look forward to having you.
Before Mr. Taylor leaves, the information that I got earlier that I passed along the history, and Mr. Taylor might be interested in knowing, I got from Dave Vincent, who was the public relations man for Taylor & Dury's.
Well, to tell you the truth, you did a pretty good job. I might say this building you were discussing was back of the lot, was the old Masonic Hall. There's up.
Any subjects you want to talk about. They had a fantastic liberal convention over the weekend. It was really something. I've been around here and involved in politics for many years. I've never seen anything quite like it. The rallies that are held during an election would match it all right, both parties, but for a nominating convention, the last time I saw anything like that, I just can't remember when. Liberals have always done a good job of their nominating conventions. The voting was close for the last three candidates, certainly for the last two. There were four candidates for the Liberal nomination.
You have a call on line 1-2.
Whoa. Good morning, talk back.
Good morning, John.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Just a minute.
Okay.
We still have the delay system in effect, even though we're here.
So we must turn the radio off.
Yeah, this is Elva Bottom, as you must know.
Yes, Elva. How are you, dear?
Say, I'm just fine, only I'm a little hot under the collar and I've got a sore neck.
What else is new?
Oh, say, listen, please, I don't like that.
Oh, come on now.
Listen here. Watcher Shackle was responsible for changing, or going to change, that little man on the license plates.
It was an idea, I believe, of the Department of Travel and Publicity.
And who are they?
You know who they are. They work here in the territory. They're hired by the Yukon Territory.
How long?
Pardon?
How long?
Oh, they're most of them are just recent.
Yes.
However,
this is what we realized, John. I understood that there was an order in council that we were going to have the...
Years
ago.
Elva, I think it's going to be discussed in territorial council before a final decision is made. Presumably, the representatives of the people will have a chance to have their say and, in fact, approve or otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many of these things being done here. We're all for advancement, but we certainly don't want advancement to the extent of where we have to pay, like this year's deal that Norm is trying to put through this year, a Medicare deal. You know, this is ridiculous. We want change for the good of the whole territory, not for the good of a few.
Well, that's
too many people are trying. All they're trying to do is have a change in the Yukon. They come up here like a few of these, public servants, and they get something changed through. And some, what's the matter with all this here re-echoing?
Mm. Pardon?
There's some re-echoing, isn't there?
Are you getting feedback?
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything but the speakers that we have outside the store.
That's probably what's happening. Elva, I think you've made a good point. And have you seen the logo of the territory, the new one that's proposed? The three climbers that they have on the as a symbol for the territory. This is what the suggestion might be, that they exchange the gold panner.
No, we want the gold panner. Anyone can climb a mountain in any bloody country, but we've got mountains here, but we want the gold panner.
Well, then I think that you and everybody that feels like you should make their feelings known before this becomes an issue in territorial council, and it will be coming up there.
Well, what good will it do? Because we get to go out with it and get people to sign a paper. With Medicare, no matter whether if there's 10,000 of us on it, it won't do a bloody bit of good anyway.
Elva, there's nothing else that we can do but keep on struggling this way and hope that we can get somewhere and hope that the people are listened to.
Mm-hmm.
It is a problem.
Well, this is only about one out of about six issues in the Ukraine.
I know, it's being multiplied.
It's real sad. And furthermore, I do hope that with Dr. Brannigan, that he will work for the Liberals instead of trying to constantly, continually run down Mr. Eric Nielsen. Don't you think that would be a good idea if he really got to work instead of talk about how little everybody else did?
Elva, you said it, and thanks very much for
calling.
Bye-bye. Bye now. Thanks for being so patient with us. You're on TalkBack.
I'm sorry, sir. We are either having trouble with our line or there's a problem with your phone. I wonder if we could try that again.
Would you dial the number again, please?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're having naturally a few technical difficulties. I think everybody's done a tremendous job, generally speaking.
Barry Mitchell was outside here for a good hour this morning, putting in these outside speakers, and it's, 25
below zero. Yeah, that's amazing.
And I want to thank him ever so much for the great job he's done.
The program is TalkBack. The number is 77891. We're broadcasting from the corner of Front and Main Streets. Lynn and I are down here. We'll be for the next hour or so. If you're interested in finding out how the TalkBack show is run, come on, drop down. We'll be back in just a minute.
The luxury of lounging. And what better way to relax than in a gown by Mauleclair from T&D. Mauleclair gowns of 100% easy care are now as light as a feather in beautiful prints at T&D. Mauleclair will put you in the mood to lounge. Choose from a lovely selection of gorgeous gowns at T&D. Mauleclair, it's a must for your wardrobe. From T&D.
Be with us in just a few moments. But filling in the meantime, here's your buddy and mine, Lynn Marshall. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Reed, and thank you very, very much. I'll just like to remind the folks that we're broadcasting from the corner of what we're calling Front and Main, at least during the Sourdough Rendezvous. Of course, that's the original name of First Avenue. And we're in the window of T&D's, Taylor & Drury's department store, right across from the White Pass and Yukon Route Depot in Whitehorse, and right across from where the start of the dog races will take place, beginning Friday morning at 10 o'clock, following the opening ceremonies that take place just down the road, about a block, at the Ice Palace at 9:30 Friday morning. We expect John to be along in just a few moments. Our MP for the Yukon, Mr. Eric Nielsen, will be John's guest.
Okay, sir.
When we get into the program. Before we do anything more, I'd like to thank CNT lineman Ken Bergren and Dale Donahue once again for the fantastic job that they've done for us, setting us up here at Taylor & Drury's, for Dave Vincent, who's in charge of public relations for Taylor & Drury's, and for Ken, or at least two, Ken, Brian, and Wayne at the Department of Travel, and information for taking it in the neck yesterday concerning the locos and the score 35 against changing the gold miner on the license plates, and 0-4. We're going to pause now for these commercial messages and be back with more of Talk Back on CKRW.
A picture is worth a thousand words. So true. And the best photographs are taken at Modern Design Photography. As an introductory offer, you'll receive one free 8x10 enlargement of any studio shots taken at the regular price.
So I'll remind you once again that we're broadcasting from the corner of Front and Main, the Taylor and Drury corner window. And the reason for John being late today, we understand, this hasn't been confirmed, but our Minister of Indian Affairs and Northern Development, Jean Chrétien, is holding a press conference at 11 o'clock this morning and expected to make statements on, if not three, at least one park here in the Yukon. And we'll leave that up to John to announce when he gets here. But that is our understanding. A little more about Rendezvous and the coverage that you'll hear on CKRW over the next 3 or 4 days. We'll be broadcasting, as we said, the opening. But tomorrow night there's a hootenanny at F.H. Collins, and we'll be there for that. The Big Queen Extravaganza on Thursday night. And, of course, we'll be following the Dayton Band around Whitehorse to the various functions they'll be attending. Pamela Hyatt, the Can-Can Girls, the Klondettes will all be beginning to show around town tomorrow night at local bistros, and they'll be at all the dances, including the dances Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night here in Whitehorse. And CKRW will be on location for all those events, bringing you events as they happen. The dog races, I told you, begin Friday, Saturday, and Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock down here on the Yukon River. The tug-of-war contest takes place Sunday, as does the broomball game just before the parade. Goes up Main Street on Sunday. That begins at approximately 2:30 or 3 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. We'll confirm that a little later on. And CKRW will be bringing you all the color highlights of the parade as we see them from the corner of 4th and Main Streets in Whitehorse. Yesterday we passed along a little history on the Taylor & Drury building here. For those of you that have been around for a long, long time, you'll remember that we're sitting exactly in the location of the Grand Hotel, which burned down in 1905, a great fire that wiped out these two blocks down here between Steele and approximately Lambert on First Avenue, or Front Street, as it was called in those days. Some of the buildings that went, you perhaps will remember, the Windsor Hotel, which was standing where the Edgewater Hotel is now, and there were a few more hotels along Front Street, the Post Office, a Pioneer restaurant and hotel that burned down, the Whitney and Redler Hardware Store, and a barber shop, a laundry on this side, where T&D's is sitting now. So there's a lot of history in this area of the city where we're broadcasting from. And we want you to come on down and visit with us here at the corner of First and Main. Come on into the building if you're a little chilly outside. However, if you have a vehicle and can pull up to the corner for a few seconds, we have speakers outside that you're more than welcome to sit and listen to talk back. We expect John Dumas here very, very shortly. In the meantime, we'll pause for these commercials.
Hundreds and hundreds of requests continue to pour into bottlers of Coca-Cola for this song. In answer to these many, many requests, your bottler of Coca-Cola now has a special compatible stereo 45 RPM record for you with the original 60-second...
And then it's taken care of. Until such time, it cannot be recognized by the referee that there was a necessity, a medical necessity, for the patient to be in hospital. This is the only point.
That puts a different light on the subject. In fact, if the doctor were, in this case, the specific case mentioned, if the doctor were to write a letter saying, look, this is why, and it was necessary, that the matter would be cleared up?
Absolutely, and we're doing this continuously, and I am advising the medical profession accordingly. I have asked for the cooperation of the Yukon Medical Association in this regard. The government of the Yukon Territory in no way wish to place a burden upon any patient who, or the relations of the patient who have found it necessary to be in hospital bed for an extra day. Where the medical necessity is there, it is the doctor's responsibility to say so, and then the matter is quite simply cleared up.
Well, then I'm going to change my layman's advice to the last caller and tell him to send the bill to his doctor.
Right. That should be done. If the doctor does not fulfill his commitment, somebody should sue the doctor. And it's about time somebody took a stand on that, too.
Norm, Al, look here. Who decides in the first instance how long the patient is going to be able to stay in the hospital without the medical referee having to make a decision?
The doctor. But all he has to do is to, because it's upon his professional advice that the referee deals with the matter. On occasions, the medical referee might feel that a particular patient has been kept in where there was no medical necessity. But if a doctor certifies to the effect that is required on the form that in his professional opinion there was a specific reason for that patient being kept in, it is usually, and I haven't heard of perhaps I think there's one case since I've been that the medical referee has refused on other grounds. So it's totally unfair for the position to be explained as it was. And I think it's very, very bad legal advice. I don't think any member of the legal profession should outwardly say, don't pay it, until he knows the circumstances surrounding it.
Norm, I tell my clients that all the time. And anyway, I preface it by saying it wasn't legal advice. It was just given politically.
Oh, well,
that's the whole point.
Okay, I'm just raising this particular point because I think it's unfair to put it in the manner that
you have clarified the situation, and I'm looking at it from a patient's point of view or from the person's point of view on the street. The problem seems to be between the profession and the YHIS, and that's where it should be cleared up.
I agree with that.
Thank
John,
you indeed, John.
And thank you very much for calling.
I think that between the Director of Health and Welfare and the doctors, that should be cleared up, that the patients have been caught in the middle on that thing.
Maybe this is one of the reasons the place has been discredited. I probably shouldn't have said that, but I've already said it anyway. This type of problem, and that poor little man down on the street who's faced with a $60 or $120 bill is the guy sitting right in the middle. And I don't think it's fair, as I said earlier. Well, that's our program for today. My guests have been Eric Nielsen, the Member of Parliament for the Yukon, Al Luke, President of the Yukon Liberal Association, and Dutch Van Tassel, President of the Yukon Chamber of Mines. Tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, we'll have the Commissioner of the Yukon, James Smith, on the program. We'll be talking about the new Capitol building. We'll probably be talking about the forthcoming session of Council, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Until then, this is John Dumas saying thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much, John. The opinions expressed during the program Talk Back are not necessarily those of the station management or staff.